Hello and welcome once again to the Tripod, where we break down every single NRL game every week from a betting perspective, giving out betting information, betting strategy, and of course free best bets. Now, hopefully the sound's a little bit better this time around. We've changed a few things, but I'll be joined online once again by Jacob. How are you, mate?
Yeah, going well, thanks, buddy. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks, mate. You got a bird chirping there in the background, I can hear, but that's good. That means the sound is excellent.
Yeah, I've always got a few birds following me around. You know how it is, man.
I don't, actually. I would have not a clue what you're talking about.
That's an absolute lie, and people that listen to the pod know that we don't lie on this pod. We give out a lot of good information. Last week, I listened back. We're using new technology because we've been screwed over by our phone recording laws, I think, and the way that the app was working. So we're now paying for every minute that we record. So it's costing us money to produce the pod, but we're doing it for the love anyway. But, I mean, the connection wasn't too great last week, so hopefully we've found a bit of better data quality this time around.
Yeah, hopefully it's a bit clearer this time. We did have a little bit of a test recording, and it seemed like it was a little bit better. Last week was, I mean, it was not very clear, but at the same time, you know, obviously it's better than not being able to bring the people the pod, and it's certainly better than the other app we were using, which had a loud, harsh beep every 15 seconds. So I think it should be all right, and it should give the people what they want.
Yeah, absolutely right. And there might be a slight delay, but anyway, we'll do what we can. We've got a big round to talk about. We've got the 100K Challenge, which is through our betting group, which is called Betting Tips and Punters Forum. But we'll talk about that at the halfway point. You've got to hang out if you want to hear about how you can share in 100K with us. Mate, let's just talk about, I mean, we give out our initial tips for every game every week. We give out a few best bets on the podcast. We keep our ear to the ground. We listen to more information that comes through. We finalise our best bets. We give them all out before the round, so our record is there to see. We give out, you know, some bets win, some lose, a lot more win than lose. People are, you know, welcome to criticise and argue, and they certainly do. And certainly people seem to come out of the woodwork every now and then when we lose tips. We don't get nearly as many people saying congrats, but I think that's human nature. I wanted to talk about a common trend that we see with bettors every week, and probably one of the main reasons that the bookmakers do make a lot of money, and that's just the public loving to bet on favourites.
Yeah, that's exactly right, mate, and we get it every single week. And yeah, if you've listened to us for a long time now, you notice that we do tend to take a lot of underdogs, and often a lot of big underdogs catching a lot of points. And like you've said to me, you know, before, and like we talked about, you know, I've never met someone that's gotten rich betting sports that's bet only on public favourites. It just doesn't happen, and there's a reason for it. And obviously people love to bet on the favourites, and that's why we like to bet on the dogs, because we get more value betting on the underdogs. And the thing is, like we've said in previous pods, these lines are liquid. They move. And when a shitload of money is coming in on the favourites, as is usually the case every single week, because your average punter sees the favourite and says, oh, there's no way they're going to lose, and they throw them in their Maltese, they put big bets on them, blah, 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 and you just get more value on the dogs. And that's the reason we like taking the underdogs, and that's a big reason why we've been able to tip it over 60%. And yeah, just on your point as well, we do get a lot of people saying, oh, this is, you know, this is my multi for the week, can't lose, and they've just thrown like five or six, you know, big favourites in there. And sure, you know, every now and then those ones might win, but we're all about taking value here, and you're not getting good value just chucking a bunch of short favourites in a multi, that's for sure.
Yeah, I just see it time and time again. It'll be a Saturday or whatever, and someone just looks at the slate, picks the four favourites across the rugby league and the AFL, multis them all together. Oh, what's that? $2.50 for these four. They're all short things, and right, easy money, ha, ha, ha. And yet, you know, invariably, one of them loses. And in a vacuum, each individual leg is most likely going to win. But if you're not getting value in the long run, you're going to lose. You see it every time, because those odds are not value. There are exceptions. We do throw favourites into multi sometimes when we're betting on Bet365 because we're getting 5% cash bonus. And that is positive EV when you're talking about favourites that are typically under $1.10. So there are exceptions. This isn't a simple business that we're in. Another example, Monday Night Footy. I think a lot of us watched the game. I certainly watched it in disbelief in that second half. The Bunnies versus Manly, it was a classic case where 90% of all bets on that game were on Manly. It just seemed too obvious to take Manly. Manly off three really impressive performances, two straight wins. The public remembers that. The Bunnies haven't won a game since April. People remember that. And everyone's saying the Bunnies are shit, Manly are decent. And, okay, the final score says Manly won by 8. And the funny thing is all those people that bet Manly think they were right. But let me tell you something, it's not that simple. I'm very confident that if that Joe Burgess try / no try goes the way of the on-field decision, the Bunnies probably run away and win that game by 2 tries. A lot of moments influence that game. Another thing we look at that looks a little bit deeper than just the score is that not all errors are created equally. And if you drop the ball, spreading it on fifth tackle when you were going to kick it anyway, that's not nearly as bad as what the Bunnies did. They dropped it 4 times on the first tackle inside the first 20 minutes. So, you know, people can say again to that, they can say, well, the Bunnies are shit. But the fact is that errors are part of the game. Every team makes them. And that is also a bit of bad luck. And there were other moments in that game. I mean, I try not to be biased and we try not to be stubborn. And I'll admit, for example, that we had a Bulldogs last week against the Cows and we're probably on the wrong side of that. Even though the money came in our favour, it wasn't the smartest bet going against a ruthless, fully healthy Cows. But I am stubbornly saying, I'm stubbornly defending that Bunnies pick because the personnel they had on the field that night, it showed in the second half. They were utterly, completely all over Manly like a rash. That Evo got up in early.
Yeah, that's a bad one.
And they could have easily won that game. And yeah, you know, you've lined your pockets if you've taken Manly in that game, but you're not going to get rich long-term betting against the pod.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you're not going to get rich long-term betting on a side, and usually it is a favourite, that has had 90% of bets or of the money placed on them. And what we often look for is going against those sides where you've got a vast majority, and usually we draw the line at about 80%. 80% of the money coming in on one side, you could almost blindly play the other side that's getting 20% or less of the money coming in on that side, and you would make money long-term, I would say. But certainly, you won't be getting rich betting on the side that 90% of the money's come in on. So that's just another tidbit of info, and you can usually find these out. If you search hard enough, you'll be able to find, you know, what sort of money's coming in on either side percentage-wise. And we'd like to try and steer clear of the sides where, you know, a lot of the public money's coming on there and the majority, vast majority of the bets are on one side. So, but probably
yeah,
enough.
The rule, if it looks too good to be true, it usually is. And, yeah, if we had done this pod on a Monday night, I probably would have spent the first half hour ranting about that Bunnies Manly game. But I've kind of cooled off. You know, we look forward to round 21 and we better get into it, eh?
Let's get into it, mate. Thursday night, we've got a full slate again. What a wonderful week. Thursday night, we've got the Roosters hosting the Broncos. The Roosters are now plus 1.5 points and 41.5 for the total.
What a time to be alive. We've got, you know, the
Isn't
home
it?
Stretch.
Six
weeks left before the finals. Things are hotting up, and you do have to think about finals implications. The Roosters certainly have none, but the Broncos... they went from, you know, needing to win to consolidate a top 4 spot to now in serious jeopardy of missing the 8. And these are two sides that the public have totally turned against based on their recent results. And I probably would come out and say that both these teams are probably better than people think. But the Broncos do have real problems here. Their biggest problems is missing 3 origin level forwards. So Thaiday, Maguire, and I don't know if you heard, Gillette has just been scratched today. He was always going to struggle to have his shoulder right for this game. And that does make a huge difference. You know, the Broncos are a deep side, but when you lose 3 origin level forwards, that really hurts you. The only thing that offsets that is Jared Weir-Hargraves is out for the Roosters, and that is a big out. But I honestly still think the Roosters have been playing decent footy lately. And they've just come up against other decent sides, like, that have just, you know, had the edge over them. They've lost games to Bulldogs, they've lost games to Sharkies, to Storm. And they inexplicably lost to the Eels, which you remember well, too. But ultimately, I think this is a tough game. I think the Roosters certainly haven't given up on the season. They're desperate to, you know, get a couple of wins and rebuild for next year. And the Broncos absolutely are desperate as well. That leads to a lower scoring game, I think. And the primetime night games always tend to lean towards the under. But I also think that the Roosters will probably win this game, but based on that Gillette news. So I'm also looking at taking the Roosters plus points. And that, of course, makes you look at the Roosters under, which you've just posted as the best bet.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, sorry, you meant the Broncos under.
Broncos under, yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, mate. I'm with you on the under, and I've played the under as well myself. I think this one closes closer to 40. But this Broncos side, yeah, like you said, primetime games often trend to the under. We've got this Broncos side missing three key forwards, and although, you know, Milford and Hunt were looking exceptional at the start of the season, you sort of seen when they have some injuries to the forwards and throughout that origin period, they did struggle in the halves there. And I think the main reason is that when you've got good go forward, your halves look fucking awesome. They look unstoppable. But when you don't have good go forward, that's when they sometimes get exposed. And I think that Milford and Hunt, don't get me wrong, they're great, great young players. When they don't have that go forward, you know, from the forwards getting behind them, then they find it a little bit tricky to put on points. So I foresee a lower scoring game here, not so much go forward. They're going to be a lot of kicks from inside their own half, etc., from both teams. So I'm definitely taking the under 41.5, and I think we should definitely make that one a best bet. In terms of the Roosters, look, they are probably the right side. It would have been great to catch the plus 2.5. Obviously, the markets have decided that Gillette's worth 1 point because that line's moved from 2.5 to 1.5 over a key number. But I just can't do it. I know that the Roosters are desperate for a win, but I just can't do it with a team that, you know, essentially has nothing to play for except pride against a Broncos team that absolutely needs this game to keep their final eight hopes alive and a possible final four berth. So I'm staying away from the side.
You mentioned that it's gone to 1.5, but you can still get plus 2. And the bet that we've just released as the best bet is Brisbane under 22, which is a very key number and a really good bet because if you work out the correlation between the line and the totals, Brisbane's team total should be about 20.5. So getting under 22, we've already played that and we love that. I do think the Roosters win the game. You made a great point about when your forwards aren't going forwards, your halves don't look good. And I saw somebody write this week that they think Chad Townsend should be in the mix for New South Wales Origin next year. Now, is Chad Townsend in the mix for Origin if he plays for the Knights? I don't think so. I think he looks good on the back of a Sharkies forward pack. And one more point, both these teams, Roosters and Broncos, have well below average kickers, which we love for the under too.
Definitely. And when we have that, we love taking the total points under rather than total tries under, as you've heard us explain before. So Friday night, Bulldogs hosting the Dragons. This line is quite high, 16.5. The Bulldogs are favoured at home and 39.5 the total.
Yeah, I don't know what to really make of this game. I will say one thing. Don't put your pen through the Bulldogs just yet. I know that they got made to look second rate on Thursday night last week against the Cowboys, but that was kind of a perfect storm of the Cowboys' basically best performance of the season. They were pretty much flawless, and the Doggies just unable to complete sets early in that game, and they found themselves down 16-0, and you're just not climbing out of a 16-0 hole up at 1300 small. So don't give up on the Doggies. Honestly, that is still a contender in my eyes, and they are completely healthy, and they're going to win this game. But we never like laying such a big number. 16.5 is a big number when you've got two kind of grinded outsides. And I'm not going to completely give up on the Dragons. They're in tatters. Losing Dugan is such a big loss, and they've looked terrible their last two games. But there's still just enough on this team, and probably the faintest ever hope of still jagging a top eight spot, that I don't expect they'll give up. And I just don't have a best bet on this game.
No, I don't have a best bet either. I'm actually leaning towards the Dragons because the line's just too high in my eyes. But I just can't do it with the Dogs coming off an embarrassing loss, like you said, to the Cows, 36-0. But you're right, that was one of the best games that I've seen. Not only the Cowboys play this year, but any NRL team play this year. It was absolutely impeccable. JT's kicking was fucking on point. Just rolling in kicks into the in-goal, stopping dead a foot from the dead ball line from 40 metres out. I mean, the guy is an absolute maestro, and they're going to miss him like crazy, like we'll talk about in the Storm game. But the Dragons have a faint hope of the eight, but it's not actually that faint. They still have to believe that they can make the eight. They're only one win out of the eight. But on the flip side, this dog side still has to believe that they're in contention with a top four spot. So, Look, I'm not laying 16.5 with the dogs, that's for sure. The only side I could look is the Dragons, but I just can't do it at this stage with the dogs, you know, hungry to put in a good performance after that embarrassing loss to the cows up in Townsville. So I'm staying away. Saturday, we've got the Warriors hosting the Panthers. This is an intriguing game in my eyes. Warriors are 3.5-point favourites and 41.5 the total.
Yeah, we're making a big effort to watch this one. Two pretty entertaining sides. Geez, the Warriors, they give you a heart attack every week. And we were looking at maybe playing the Raiders. We felt the Raiders were a slightly better team than the Warriors with home field advantage, should be able to win. But we just didn't do it because we understand the amount of talent that is on this Warriors side. And they are pretty much fully healthy, you know, notwithstanding the loss of RTS very early in the season. But they've got enough backline weapons to cover him. They've come to their senses and playing Tui Lolohea at fullback, which is always a good idea to have one of your best three stars on the field, which hasn't been the case the last couple of weeks. Yeah, exactly. And honestly, you know, I love the Panthers, and we cleaned up with Penrith against Brisbane, which was another case where, you know, it wasn't as simple as what meets the eye there last week. But I'll tell you what, I actually think the Warriors are going to win this game. I think at home they are always so dangerous. I think that the lineup they're putting on the field is just about their strongest lineup they've played all year. And as much as Penrith's side is full of talent, everyone knows that I'm not Anthony Griffin's biggest fan, and I still have question marks about the ability of Penrith's halves to win a close game. I mean, yeah, any halves will look good when their team is dominating like they were on Friday night. People can say what they want about Cleary. He is still only 18 and inexperienced. I'm yet to see him really grab the game by the nuts in a close one. So, you know, I think Warriors would win, and I would lay the points with the Warriors before I considered taking Panthers.
Yeah, I don't have a play on this game. I think you're right, the Warriors do win this game, but the issue I have with laying 3.5, and I guess the similar sort of issue that I had with laying, you know, when we laid 2.5 with the Warriors when they lost to Manly in Golden Point, is the rain. And there is rain all week long in New Zealand. Rain on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all fucking week there's going to be rain. On top of that, this is an 8-9 clash. Both teams are desperate for a win. So I foresee a very, very low-scoring game in the wet with two teams that struggle to play in the wet. We saw the Warriors struggle against Manly. We saw the Panthers struggle to play in the wet against the Storm. We've got inexperienced halves on the Panthers, and I think this game goes well under. On top of that, we've got the Panthers playing an over game last week against the Broncos where they looked impeccable. And we're piling on points, so that leads me to taking the under this week as well. But on top of that, the Warriors basically last week landed right on the total when it had no right to. It was 22-4 with 10 minutes left, so that game should have gone well under, but what does it do? It goes over for some guys and slightly under for others, but we had a total of 48 when it shouldn't have been anywhere near that. So two teams desperate for a win, fighting for a top eight spot in terrible weather, 41.5 is too high.
Yeah, that actually reminds me. It's a good point, just a good betting tip for people. Bet365 pays out results on 80 minutes. So if you're betting the under, that's great news for you because if your game is under or on the total at 80, it doesn't matter if there's any points in extra time and there can obviously be up to four. Your bet will win. But don't worry, if you play the over on Bet365, they give you that extra chance to win in Golden Point. So it's really good. You can lose a straight-up bet in Golden Point like the Warriors did 2 weeks in a row. You can lose an under. Like I had one of my multis under 47.5. It lands 48 and it wins because it was at 44 before the 80-minute mark. So it's just another reason why Bet365 is both of our favourite app, I think.
Yep.
And what did you say the total is for this New Zealand Panthers game?
41.5.
Yeah, I hadn't looked at the weather, but I think you're dead right there, and we can also look at Panthers under. If we do think New Zealand wins in a really low-scoring game, we might be able to get something like 18.5, you know?
That
would be a key number too.
Yeah, definitely. And I was going to say as well, just on your point in regards to Bet365 with the totals, obviously if you're shopping around for totals, which you should be doing by now, if you've been listening to the pod for a while, you should have at least three betting sites. I think that's the magic number to have at least three. But if you're shopping around and, you know, the total's 47.5 and you find a 48.5 elsewhere, I can understand playing the under 48.5. But if all the totals are the same then definitely choose to place that bet on Bet365 because, yeah, like you said, if it's under that number at full time, even if it goes to extra time, you win that bet. So, second Saturday game, we've got the Eels hosting the Tigers. The Eels are +7.5 and 44.5 the total.
And I've even seen +8, and I've even seen +8.5 actually. And I myself have grabbed the Tigers +1.5, and I did that must have been about 9 days ago, you know. So that's a 10-point
yep.
line swing. And once I grabbed +1.5, the bookies quickly moved it, as they usually do when we try and make big bets.
Yep.
And they moved it into Pick'em, and then we released it for the pod, and a bunch of our followers are on the Tigers at Pick'em, so they just need to win the game. And, I mean, they're into $1.40 to win this game. So that's obviously a sensational best bet we're already on. Can't
yep.
really and don't really need to make any more best bets on this game. I do think the Tigers will be too strong. I guess my only slight concerns are Chris Lawrence tweaked his ankle and had to come off last game. Tim Grant was taken off the field for concussion. If they lose both of those guys, their forward pack gets a bit skinny. But look, I like the Tigers. You know, that back line, Tedesco, the halves, obviously. A bit of an issue with Farrah. You know, if it's up to me, I would rather have him in the side. But we don't know what goes on behind closed doors. I just hope that their mind is on the game. And look, they were good against the Dragons. They're another side that desperately needs to make the eight, whereas I don't know what the Eels are playing for at this point. So, look, yeah, I think this one should be straightforward. I think the Tigers get a win for us.
Yeah, I think the Tigers get a win for us. And, yeah, like you said, handy to follow us because we've released a few of these ones where lines have moved in our favour more than a converted try, which is very, very rare in the NRL because the guys that set these lines are sharp, but we like to think that we're a little bit sharper than them. So we're all sitting here with Tigers at Pick'em in our pocket. Obviously, I'm not playing the Tigers -7.5 because I've got them at pick. But at the same time, in these situations where you've got a big line move, sometimes you consider playing for a middle and playing back on the Eels if you could grab 8.5. But I just can't do it. I think that after all the personnel that they've lost, you know, they lost Foran, they lost Norman, they lost Red Raja, they've lost everyone. Jennings. Who knows? You know, they're just. I think they'll just capitulate on the back end of this season. In terms of the Tigers, yeah, like you said, they would be two key outs. And on top of that, Farrah didn't rock up to practice today, so they're saying that he probably won't play on the weekend. But I mean, they looked pretty sharp last week, even without Farrah. I mean, Dean Hallett, ain't terrible to slot in there into Hooker. So I think the Tigers win this game. I think they win handily, and I think that's probably the only best bet that we're going to have on the game is the Tigers at pick released about a week ago. That will wrap up the first four games, mate, and I really do want to get into the 100K challenge that we're going to be running on our Facebook page. Most of you guys that follow the pod will have seen it already, but a good friend, Tom Ilassi, had the idea to try and start a challenge, and not only that, William Hill's made it possible, and you guys won't have to put down a cent. So you want to run us through that one real quick, buddy?
Yeah, you said page, but you mean group.
I'll
repeat the name of the group. Betting Tips and Punters Forum. Already a lot of our guys that listen are in that group now. It's an awesome interactive group. We all share tips, and we've got experts on basically every sport in there. And someone had the idea, can we do one of these challenges? And we've spoken about the challenges before of, like, kind of accumulating funds and rolling them into successive bets in a row to try and make a huge profit. And we've spoken about why it doesn't really work and how winning, you know, 10 bets in a row is rare. But ultimately, we're doing this for the fun, and William Hill has been kind enough to jump on board, and they're providing the funds. So we've got nothing to lose. We're playing with the house's money here. I don't want to spend too long on the pod trying to break it down because it's going to be all in the group, and it's going to be very interactive. We're going to let everyone have their say on what bets they want to place, and we're going to use the poll function to get majority deciding the bets. I just think it's going to be fun kind of riding the bets home. So,
yep. Yeah,
just jump onto our group and you will see the post. It is pinned to the top of the group, and you can get involved. Anyone can get involved for free. Just follow the instructions. They're super easy, and then you share in the winnings, and we're going to be aiming for 100K. And honestly, this is not the same as one of those sites that promises you can win 100K off 50 bucks. This is all of us together. We're going to have like $1,000 to play with. This is doable.
Yeah, absolutely agree, mate. And yeah, the way things are going at the moment, I think we're going to have at least $1,000 to play with to start it off. So it should be a lot of fun. And it's free as well. You don't have to put any of your money in, like you said, because William Hill are providing all the funds for it. So nothing to lose and only thousands of dollars to gain. So jump on board. Yeah, like you said, Betting Tips and Punters Forum. It's a free group for everyone to join. And, yeah, we're all having a lot of fun in there and hopefully winning a boatload of money after this challenge. So let's kick back into the round, buddy. We've got, we've released a best bet on this one already, but we've got the Cowboys hosting the Storm up in Townsville. Cowboys are plus 2.5 points now and 34.5 the total.
Oh, my God. We said that this game is definitely going under, and then we looked, 36.5. It's so low. We don't really want to play it. And now you tell me it's dropped 2 points, and you kind of wish you had just grabbed that. I mean, it was 15-14, if I remember correctly, at Suncorp when these two teams met a few weeks ago. Man, there's a lot of good games on this weekend. This is another one, even without JT. And we've said, you've said it before on the pod, and I 100% agree, as good as everyone knows JT is and he's the next immortal, if anything, he's undervalued by the markets. He is just such an enigma and just such a wizard. And fuck, we bet on the Dogs last week on Thursday, and it is not fun betting against Jonathan Thurston. It's just a very terrible place that you take yourself to when you do that. So I'm definitely hoping that he's out. It's not 100% confirmed, but I mean, there were articles saying he's going to be out 3 weeks, other articles saying 2 weeks. There's an article today that says Paul Green is being coy, and he made the comment JT will be back sooner rather than later. But fuck me dead, Paul Green. Give the man a rest. He has just played his heart out for Queensland in a series win. He has tweaked his hammy. Do not, buddy, anger the football gods. You need him healthy in September, okay? That's when you need JT.
Yeah.
And look, I'll tell you one other thing. The Storm are fully healthy, and they've also threatened to rest key players, which they haven't yet. But I just think they'd be crazy to rest key players in this game. I kind of explained it in the group as well. If the Storm wins this game, they put a 4-win gap between themselves and third place. And top two is where you want to be. If they lose this game, it becomes a 2-game gap. And now, if you're only beating the Cows by 2 games, you can't really mess around and rest key players too often, because you run the risk of letting the Cows catch you. The Cows aren't going to lose many more games this year. So it just makes sense for the Storm to come out, balls to the wall, and grab a win. There's a revenge factor here. The Storm lost a ridiculous game a year ago up in Townsville where they led by 13 points late and lost. And they got booted out of the semis or out of the prelim final last year. And I'm not expecting the Cows to roll over. I still 100% respect the Cows' lineup. It's still maybe the best forward pack in the comp. But in a close game, you cannot go past the institution. You cannot go past the team coached by Craig Bellamy and a spine that includes Smith and Cronk. I think Storm get the win.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And we took this game basically at Pick'em, and now you know you have to lay 2.5 points with the Storm pretty much everywhere. So that's a good line that we've got. So we're sticking with that one. We think the Storm certainly win this game. We've got a good line. But fuck, I know. We were sort of saying earlier in the week, you know, if this total opens at around, you know, close to 40, we have to play the under. But I'm starting to think that this has moved too far, and I'm thinking about playing the over 34.5. And my reasoning being is that I looked at the weather report. It's going to be perfect, absolutely perfect weather up there in Townsville. The sun's going to be shining. It is going to be hardly any wind up there, which leads to more points on a dry track with no wind, easier conversions, etc. But not only that, I think, you know, if JT got injured one day before and, you know, the halves had sort of, you know, had all week to train with JT in there, and then they had to make a last-minute change, you don't sort of get that week to prepare. But, you know, they've had a week to prepare with this new halves combo, so I think they're going to be, they'll put on a few points, the Cowboys, but I think ultimately the Storm wins the game. And I probably think it's been adjusted down too much, and I've got an inkling to play over the 34.5. What do you reckon?
I don't have that inkling because I think these are the best two defensive teams in the comp, and you also don't have two good goal kickers on display here. So if anything, I could look at maybe a try line over, or maybe Storm team total tries if you get them over a flat 3, because that back line is epic. And Vinivalo just scores for fun every single week on the outside of that. And obviously Munster back. Munster's actually one of the superstars in the comp. But yeah, look, to be honest, I think 34 is now kind of where it should be. So I think it's kind of fair. Not saying playing over is a bad bet, but I don't see it as a great bet either.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Maybe I'll have to look at the Storm team total over. That sounds like a better better way to go. It might be a stale line or two out there. Next up, we've got the Rabbits hosting the Raiders. The Rabbits are +8.5 now and 46.5 the total, and I feel angry about this one.
It's another game where the line has moved 10 points because the Raiders were +1.5 about 2 weeks ago in this game, and I actually chucked it in a look-ahead multi and just didn't quite have the urge to make it a best bet for the pod because I kind of thought the Bunnies getting blokes back would actually beat Manly, and we've spoken enough about that. Look, the Raiders are the real deal. They are now in fourth position, and they are real contenders, to win the comp. A very underrated side, and I'm not going to take anything away from them losing, giving up that lead against the Warriors because, you know, the Warriors are a crazy team, and sometimes they just do crazy things. But ultimately, at this point now, the line's probably more fair. I know everyone wants to heap shit on the Bunnies and say that they're terrible, but really, I thought the second half was a better reflection of what the Bunnies are capable of, and they didn't concede a try, and they scored two, but they probably should have scored about four tries in that second half. They're still a week away from getting Inglis back. They didn't play like they'd given up. Honestly, I think it was more just terrible ball-breaking errors in the first half rather than a lack of effort. So it's kind of a fair line now, you know. I could honestly see the Bunnies making the Raiders work for this one, but I do think the Raiders win it.
Yeah, I know that the Raiders win this game to shore up a top four spot. The Bunnies are totally out of the finals now. They've got nothing left to play for except pride, and this Raiders team can put on points in a hurry. And I'm kicking myself that I didn't get this game at basically pick when I could have. But like I've told you numerous times, the issue with me getting look-ahead lines is basically every site that offers look-ahead lines has banned me already, so I can't get them down. But can I just say one fucking thing about the Bunnies game? And I've seen it time and time again. On Monday night, the Bunnies are down 8 with 5 minutes left. And correct me if I'm fucking wrong, but the Bunnies are down 8 with 5 minutes left and they get a penalty in front of the Sticks. You've got to take the 2 there. You've got to fucking take the 2 and make it a one-score game. Otherwise, you need 2 scores anyway, and I see it time and time again. I've seen it with fucking 1 minute left. A cunt fucking gets a penalty right in front of the Sticks, and they do not take the 2, and they were down 8. It makes me infuriated. You fucking need to... I consider myself fairly smart, and not the smartest cunt in the world, though, and I... Like, it's so
can
easy
you stop
to think...
Saying that, can you stop saying that?
Sorry. Sorry about that for all you listeners out there.
I agree with you. We've got to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah, true. All right, fair enough. But for all you NRL clubs out there, if you're 5 minutes or less in the game and you're down 8 points, please, and you get a penalty in front of the Sticks, please take the 2. You're just giving yourself such a better chance to win the game. All right, enough about
100%
that.
100% agree. Mate, they're down 2 scores. Now, teams don't get penalties very often late in game, so you can't count on getting a penalty after you score the try. Now, you're being offered 1 score. You take that score, now you're down 1 score. You can get 1 score in 5 minutes. Teams don't understand. I'll add one more thing to that. The Bunnies got a penalty on the stroke of half-time. They were down 18-0, I understand that. They didn't take the 2. They tapped it and grubbed it through to Manly and then walked off. I mean, those 2 points would have come in handy, honestly. When they cut that game to 6 and when they should have tied the game, those 2 points could have been the difference. In the end, Manly takes a penalty which extends the lead to 8, which they wouldn't have had the opportunity to do. It boggles my mind. Teams are not making decisions that increase their probability of winning the game. And
no.
I just can't believe this happens in 2016.
No, it's unbelievable. They need to hire a stats guy. And I've seen a game, I can't remember exactly who was playing, but a team was down 8 and they got a penalty. They were down 8, the siren had sounded, it was going to be the last play of the game, they got a penalty right in front of the Sticks and they chose to take a tap and bomb it up into the in goal and it just got tapped over. But in this tight competition where every single point counts, you just look at that sort of 7th to 10th on the ladder and points differential plays a huge part in deciding whether you're going to make the finals. And, you know, if you're not scoring a try... a converted try, 1 in 3 times that you're taking a tap on the 20. No, you're not. You're just not. The percentages say that you're not. You take that guaranteed 2 points, you boost your fucking points differential up 2 points, and that could be, and I'm not saying it will be, but that could be the difference between making the finals or not. All right, enough on that. Sea Eagles hosting the Knights. The Sea Eagles are minus 20.5 points and 48.5 the total.
Yeah, like I said before, a lot of good games on this weekend, and this is definitely not one of them. Probably one to spend some time with the missus or whatever while this one's on. Because Manly will win this game. They haven't got Dylan Walker back yet, but they've got enough to win with. You know, our bet on Monday night wasn't so much a bet against Manly as it was really expecting the doggies to the bunnies to lift. So, look, Manly's a solid team, certainly still believing they can make the eight. The Knights are not a solid team. The Knights are a bare-bones team. They lost Jared Mullen to injury. I feel really bad for that guy. He could have had such a better career, but his body has betrayed him yet again. And you know, you just don't want to take the points with a side that you just really feel has such a small chance to win the game. So I'm just going to move straight past this one.
Yeah, I'm going to move straight past this one or two. I'm not playing it. Let me just tell everyone out there that the Knights plus 24.5, I still stand by that bet. I think if Mullen plays that second half, they cover that spread. They were up down 10-0 at halftime with him playing, and they butchered a try where the bloke slipped about 5 metres out from the try line. It should have been 10-6 at half. But as soon as Mullen went out, it was all over, and the Sharks put on about 3 tries in 11 minutes, and then it was over. But still, we nearly covered the spread. But anyway, Seagulls will win this game. Will they win by 20.5 or more points? I don't know. It's probably a 50-50 proposition in my eyes, because the Seagulls, the issue is, they still believe that they can make the eight. And it is a long shot, and I'm probably saying that they most likely won't from this position. But they still believe they can, and they've been playing like they can. They've been playing like a very, very motivated side these past sort of 5 or 6 weeks. They're only 2 wins out of the 8. And they've got a better for and against than the Dragons and the Titans, who sit, you know, 1 and 2 spots above them on the ladder. So, I mean, a win by Manly and a loss from the Dragons and the Titans, which could potentially happen this week, or is the most likely scenario of happening this week, and, you know, they find themselves in ninth spot, which, you know, isn't so far-fetched anymore. So I think the Manly comes out hungry. Whether they try and sort of pile on points on the Knights is another question. In their eyes, they probably should, because points differential means everything in that very, very tight, you know, around the eighth cusp. So they might try and pile on points, but, you know, I'm not laying 20.5. And then this is probably one of the matches of the round as well. We've got the Titans hosting the Sharkies. The Titans are plus 6.5 points and 41.5 the total on Monday night.
Yeah, another barn burner to end the round. This one's quite cut and dry for me. The Titans are a great side this year in terms of what they've done with their personnel. I love that forward pack. Ash Taylor's playing well. All the outside backs playing for each other and not afraid to throw it round. And, you know, they've got some good athletes on that side, and they just have a crack every week. If you bet on the Titans, they won't let you down. They'll give you, you know, every ounce of effort that they've got. But there is a definite class difference in these two sides. The Sharkies are fully healthy. Maloney's had a week off. He gets to return. You know what? The Sharkies haven't really had a really tough game against another top eight side for a few weeks. Probably, unless you can correct me, but probably
no,
not since...
I mean...
They beat the Bulldogs a few weeks ago on a Monday night, and that's gone back about 5 weeks.
Yeah, the toughest test was probably that Roosters game a couple of weeks back on Monday night.
But you know what I mean. That's not a top-eight side. So really the Sharkies haven't been too drained, and they've still managed to just tick the wins along. So now I feel like they can kind of get up for this one. And, you know, I'm not going to take 6.5. I understand it's a key number. I understand the Titans are at home, and there's a lot of, you know, sharp betting will say that you take the home underdog here against the side on 14 straight wins. But I'm not going to do it because I just think that the Sharkies will grind them out. The defence is definitely up to scratch and their attack is very high quality. They really know how to move the ball out wide. Barber's been sensational. Jack Bird is in real quality. So, you know, if anything, I'm kind of looking to play the Sharkies as a straight-up winner maybe in multis. We speak about not being stubborn. We have to accept when we're wrong. A few weeks ago, or go back 10 or 12 weeks, I was kind of saying the Sharkies are a fringe top eight side. You were onto them far earlier. You bet that they would be leading the comp after 13 rounds. They obviously have won 14 straight games. I now totally accept that this is a grand final contender, a competition winning contender for sure.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And in all honesty, there's only one side I'd put above them, and that's a fully healthy Cowboys side, and I think Sharks should be second favourites for the comp at this stage, the way that they've been playing. They just have so many weapons, and it's not the Sharkies of old side that we're used to, that just used to grind it out and win games 10, 12, and that sort of thing. They have weapons all over the park. I mean, Bird is a weapon. They've got Valentine Holmes. They've got these guys that can just streak away for 90-metre tries, and that's exactly what they did against the Knights. I mean, Valentine Holmes scored the first one. I think he ran 100 metres or something to score that first try. Benny Barber, although it was disallowed for an obstruction, streaked 60 metres for a try. They've got these fast little motherfuckers on their side, and they are an entertaining side to watch. But you're right, I'm not laying 6.5 with this Sharks side, but I'm not taking the 6.5 either with the Titans. I know they're at home. I know they're fighting for a top 8 spot. They are desperate. But let me tell you this much, this Sharks side, and usually when you get a team on a long winning streak, you have that tendency that they might let up. They might become complacent. You know, they've won so many games. But this Sharks side, they're coming out as hungry as ever. And, you know, it's a good sign that a lot of their top players have come out and said that this winning streak, it means the world to them. And whether that's going to fatigue them come finals time, sort of like the Golden State Warriors and their you know, record-breaking season did last year, whether that fatigues the Sharks at finals time is yet to be seen. But at the moment, this winning streak means everything to them. And until they lose, I'm not betting against them again like I did last week. So I'm leaving this game alone, but I'm certainly going to watch it. It's going to be entertaining, to say the least.
Yeah, it definitely looks like an awesome round. I'll quickly zoom through a summary of what we've liked so far. We've already made Broncos under 22 on Thursday night a best bet, and we're going to look closely at the Roosters plus 2 and the under in that game, under 41.5. We'll take a little bit closer look at maybe the Penrith team total under and just under in what should be a ripper and close and tight Penrith-New Zealand game. We've already got the Tigers just to win against the Eels. That's a great bet. We've already got the Storm to win against the Cows. We hope that's a great bet. And that's about it so far. And we always add extra bets to that. We're going to have another multi. I'll be releasing a multi on Friday, and my multi won last week. So, in fact, just thinking now, I might even release the multi tomorrow because I might want to include that Roosters game. So
yep.
Look forward to that one. Definitely for the, you know, the fifth time, jump in our group, Betting Tips and Punters Forum. Get involved in the 100K Challenge and get involved in all the other great tips that we've been giving out.
Yep, absolutely, mate. And we're going to be probably kicking off that 100K Challenge sometime this weekend, whether it's Friday or Saturday is yet to be seen. But obviously we want to build the kitty as much as we can, and hopefully we've got over $1,000 to start with. So that's going to be awesome. Once again, a reminder to you guys to sign up to, I guess, as many betting sites as you possibly can. I think that for an amateur punter, for a weekend warrior punter, your absolute minimum that you want to have is 3 betting sites. That lets you shop around just enough to get, you know, a decent price on every single play that you do make. So if you need an extra betting site, hit us up. We do have all the links to, all the exclusive links to, all of our betting sites that we use on the group Betting Tips and Punters Forum, like you've explained. But if you do want to just hit us up and ask us what our favourite sites are, what are the best ones to use, how easy are they to use, what have the best promos, just shoot us a Facebook message. More than happy to answer all of your questions and hook you up with those exclusive links.
Yeah, like you said, best prices, best lines, but also they've all got different promos, so you want to be able to take advantage of all of them. You've got to catch them all. And when
yeah,
you say
absolutely.
Build the kitty up for to win 100K, that doesn't involve putting any of your own money in. What we mean is every extra person that signs up, William Hill are chucking in more money for us to bet with. So it's absolutely nothing to lose, everything to gain. I think it's going to be a really awesome weekend of footy, so let's all, you know, get together and let's try and win a bit of coin this weekend. As always, please.
Please.
Gamble responsibly.